without a regular one-on-one, it can be really challenging for people to have that degree of transparency and collaboration and successful partnership that is required to then get to the end of the year and have a, yes, this was a fantastic year, here's a fantastic performance review as a result.
Hello and welcome to Off the Books, where we surf the uncharted waters of accounting, finance, risk, and wherever else the waves take us. This episode is brought to you by Workiva, which brings together financial reporting, sustainability, audit, and risk teams to help them provide assured integrated reporting. It's everything you want it to be. My name is Steve Soder, accounting enthusiast and Diet Coke aficionado. I am looking forward to debuting a terrific conversation today in Season 7, and joined, as always, and very happy to be so, by Catherine Tsai. Catherine, you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Catherine Tsai. I'm not an accountant, but I'm a professional asker of questions. I like to drink a venti soy chai. And this week, we are talking about annual performance reviews.
Yeah, that's exactly right. A lot of people just went through the annual performance review process, or maybe they're right in the middle of it. And we hope that leads to, a bonus, a raise, or something like that. And we got to thinking, hey, could we talk about maybe tips that you could be doing throughout the year so that you would be ready to ace your next annual performance review? Catherine, I know you've been doing quite a bit of work on this, including, it sounds like, a really nifty template that we're going to make available to our listeners.
Yes, and this all started because we talked to a bunch of people at the annual Workiva Amplify conference, which is a conference for all of our listeners, for finance, risk, audit, sustainability folks. And a lot of them had good advice about what you should talk about in a one-on-one with your manager or with your team members. And so we made a little template that you can download after you listen to this episode.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we will put a link to that in the show notes and encourage you to do that. What I love about this is actually the way that we've tied together annual performance reviews to the one-on-one process. I always like to say that your annual performance review really shouldn't be a surprise. It should maybe be the summation of all of those conversations that you were having with your manager throughout the year. I do think, though, that as an employee, you're probably going to be a lot better at driving that as opposed to waiting for your manager to do that. And speaking of managers and speaking of expertise, we are delighted to bring back again Emily Forrester, the Chief People Officer at Workiva, to get her perspective and actually to learn a couple of things about Emily that we didn't know before. So let's give it a listen. Well, as part of this conversation, we thought we'd bring in some real expertise, so we are delighted to welcome back Emily Forrester, the Chief People Officer at Workiva, who joined us recently on our conversation about return to office and would suggest you check out that episode. Emily, welcome. Thank you again for joining us.
Thanks, Steve. It's great to be back.
So a lot of people just went through an annual performance review and are probably thinking now about goals for 2025. Companies are going to be in various stages. We're wondering, what would you encourage employees to keep in mind to set themselves up well for their next annual review, which is, probably going to be, 9 to 12 months away at this point?
So my number one thing is to always very strongly encourage employees and managers to make sure that expectations are crystal clear from both sides of that conversation. Making sure that there has been a clearly articulated and defined timeline around deliverables, making sure that behavioral expectations and cultural expectations within the organization are clearly defined and understood, that overall performance expectations are documented somewhere that both parties have access to and are regularly revisiting and talking about. At the same time, though, it's not just understanding. Of course, it's also the follow through, but you can't follow through unless you first really have crystal clear expectations.
Now, Emily, what is the role that one-on-one meetings between managers and their teams, what role should that play?
I think that is one of the most critical meetings that every employee has on a hopefully very frequent, regular occurring basis. A one-on-one with a manager is intended to make sure that there is open, candid, transparent conversation happening about both where things are going well and also where things are perhaps getting off track. And that early identification of those things can help the manager continue to reinforce, yes, this is going great, let's keep it up, And also, then the manager has an opportunity to get involved with help or support on or provide support on the things where an employee might need guidance in order to make sure things stay on track or get back on track. And without a regular one-on-one, it can be really challenging for people to have that degree of transparency and collaboration and successful partnership that is required to then get to the end of the year and have a, yes, this was a fantastic year. Here's a fantastic performance review as a result. So I think the one-on-one is a must-have and should be a foundational expectation for all employees and all managers every single week.
Through the process of these one-on-ones with managers, how willing should managers and employees be to pivot or update their goals? I've observed over a lot of years of doing this that you go through a really robust goal-setting process, but your organization is fluid. Things move really, really fast. And then it feels like 2 or 3 months later, like, these goals are completely obsolete. Like, well, you know, what were we thinking? Things completely changed. I'm assuming what you're going to say is managers and employees should be very willing to modify and update as needed so that the goals continue to be relevant. But what advice would you give to managers who start to struggle with that in, you know, Q1 and especially like a Q2 mid-year check-in scenario?
Yeah, Steve, I absolutely do agree that managers should be comfortable with that. The world today is not the same as the world 2 months ago, even. And I think we all need to be open to the changes that have to take place organizationally as a result of changes that we're all experiencing. And the best laid plans might not actually turn into reality. So getting comfortable recognizing that the goal that was set at this moment was appropriate at this moment with the information that we knew and was in front of us and available. But then recognizing that things evolve and the attention that an employee is putting on something needs to evolve as well in order to drive value for the organization and deliver results that will be appropriate given the changes that have been experienced.
In terms of the agenda for the one-on-one, do you have any advice on how much I as an employee should be dictating that agenda?
In my mind, a lot of the one-on-one is driven by the employee. And I would go so far as to say it's probably 80% driven by the employee. If the employee has a strong sense of self-awareness and they have a really clear understanding of the expectations, then it is their time to raise and bring forward the things that they know that their manager needs to be aware of so that they can work together to stay informed and to stay focused on the right things for their organization. Now, of course, the manager needs some time to share their perspective and add things as well and make sure that the manager is also communicating downward about the things that are going on or providing feedback to the employee. But for me, the vast majority of the time is driven by the employee.
Once I hit my late 30s, I knew I had a serious decision to make. I could either get weirdly into World War II history, learn an absurd amount about wine, or start collecting vinyl records. Since I was never one for memorizing facts, and I think wine is best paired with, well, more wine, I started collecting albums. And yes, dear listener, the feel of a tactile piece of music is great in your hands. And yes, the sound really is warmer with all the pops and crackles underneath as Fiona Apple or Tom Petty warble through my apartment. But record collecting is complicated. First, there's choosing a categorization method. Do you go straight alphabetical or split by genre or year? And what if people you live with don't care about any system and like a monster, they put Orville Peck's Pony right next to A Tribe Called Quest's Low End Theory? Then there's tracking album prices. They can fluctuate more than the stock market, and you have to know where and when to buy that Carly Rae Jepsen you've been coveting. I wish there was a Workiva for vinyl, a unified platform to put all that vital financial reporting, ESG, and audit and risk info in one spot, and know what the most up-to-date facts and figures are, dashboards to help you understand where your albums are by genre and year, and linked numbers and narrative to track a musician's career as they hop through various bands. Wouldn't that be great? Doesn't that sound lovely?
Emily, we've got an audience of accountants and auditors, and my dad, who aspires to be one of those, I suppose. But what would you say to a function like accounting, let's say, where not really revenue goals, it's not really production, it's, hey, you know what, we need you to get the books closed, or we need you to issue the reports on time, or we need to minimize errors. Certainly there's projects that come along during the year. There might be some new accounting stuff, a new accounting system, those kinds of things. What would you say that those goals could look like as they go through the goal setting process, but then the one-on-ones with the managers could look like? Because I'm thinking about like, okay, well, you need to close the books by day five, you know, get financials out by day six. Okay, well, if that's your goal, then as long as that's happening, you probably don't have much to talk about, at least as far as goals and the one-on-ones. I'm curious, for that kind of a function, any advice for managers and employees that are thinking about how to make the most out of these processes?
Steve, did you know that I'm an accountant by education?
I did not. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're remiss that you've just taken this long for us to invite you to the podcast.
I know. I have a degree in accounting. I started my career as a tax consultant in public accounting right out of college. So
what?
I know this
my
world.
My mind is blown right now. Seriously.
For accounting and finance professionals, thinking about goal setting can absolutely, yes, be the expectation to have reconciliations completed, to have journal entries submitted, to have books closed. Yes, some of those are just foundational core expectations of the job. When I also think about annual goals, perhaps there are some projects, some cleanup things that need to be addressed, some opportunities to find and drive efficiencies within the practices of that individual, within their processes. And of course, we always want employees to be learning and growing and continuing to expand their horizons. And so, yes, learning about new accounting standards or pronouncements and thinking ahead about how those will impact the organization's financial statements and what needs to be done accordingly for that. Those are great growth opportunities for the employee. And then you can also add upon that by sharing that information, presenting that information to your peers or to your department to build your brand, to demonstrate your expertise, to stretch yourself in ways that demonstrate your technical knowledge in new ways. So I would absolutely encourage people who are listening to this podcast to think about how they can take their knowledge to the next level to benefit their organization and help themselves continue to grow professionally.
Well, I just need to point out that in all the years we've been doing this podcast, there's only a small handful of guests who have organically referenced reconciliations, journal entry. I mean, I'm still love the answer. Mind blown that you were able to do that on the spot. Well done. Very
Thanks.
Well done.
Thanks. Through the regular ongoing dialogue that's happening, the feedback that's being shared, the annual review should not be a scary activity in any way, shape, or form. It can be a bit of a formality, the cherry on top, the signing off on all of the things that have happened for that year. But I'm really glad that we're talking about it now so that, again, everybody is setting themselves up for success this year.
Emily Forrester, again, Chief People Officer at Workiva, thank you for the second time and with a lot of credibility as an accounting and finance professional. Thank you so much for joining us again.
It's been a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Emily Forrester. I think she successfully exceeded expectations with that advice.
She absolutely did. As a former accountant, just a complete rock star. And I actually love the way that she talked about just the importance of those one-on-ones. Again, Catherine, we talked about it at the top of the episode, but I really, really love the fact that she brought up just how important that is. And, you know, the one thing that occurred to me as we were sitting there talking is just, hey, be smart about your goals, you know, make them simple, make them achievable, and then bring them up. You know, it always kind of shocks me how often people on my team do that with me, or actually how often I do that with my manager. You know, one of the best ways to either ace the goals or perhaps to revise them so that you can ace them at the end of the year is don't keep them a secret, right? Bring them up and make them part of the conversation. So,
and make them measurable too. That's important.
Yes. Yes. Exactly right. Exactly right. SMART goals. SMART. I almost said SMRT. Which is not very smart.
That's how you spell it, Steve.
Yeah, that is how I spell it. Okay, and speaking of making a fool out of ourselves, Catherine, I happen to have another Would You Rather question to close us out today. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. The question is, would you rather have unlimited credit at a shoe store or unlimited credit at the gas station?
At the shoe store.
Wait, seriously?
Yes.
You spend more money on shoes than gas?
Yes, because I, Steve, am an ESG-minded person. I do a lot more walking, actually, you know, to the bus, to the train, walking in general, than I do drive. I also carpool, so definitely shoes versus gas money.
I was expecting something so much more hilarious than that. But props to you. That's wonderful.
Well, and just think of all the shoes you could buy. Like, there's Air Force Ones. There's the Tigers. There's, yeah.
I'm actually a real big fan of Vans these days. I mean, I always have, but they've gotten exceedingly more comfortable for a old person feet like I have, so... All right, I'll go with you on the shoes.
Okay, this is what we should talk about more in our one-on-one, Steve.
Oh, boy. Well, hey, as a reminder of those one-on-ones, we can make those one-on-ones a heck of a lot more productive for you. Would encourage you to check out that downloadable template. Again, we will put the link in the show notes. And big thanks, Catherine, to you for putting it together. I think it's going to be an awesome tool.
Yeah, and thank you, dear listener, for surfing along with us. I'm Catherine Tsai. That was Steve Soter. This has been Off the Books, presented by Workiva. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of this season's upcoming episodes. And if you like Off the Books, please leave a review. Tell your buddies if you liked the show. If you're watching this on YouTube, drop us a note in the comments or feel free to drop us a line at offthebooks@workiva.com. Surf's up, and we'll see you on the next wave.